Let us now turn for our Old Testament scripture reading first to the book of Ezekiel and the chapter 37. The book of Ezekiel, the chapter 37. We read verses 1 to the verse 14. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. This is the word of the Lord. Come, let us hear his word together. The Lord truly give us ears to hear and hearts to receive his word this night. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, brought you up out of your graves, and I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. Let us now turn to the New Testament for our reading to the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 13. The Gospel of Matthew and the 13th chapter. And we commence our reading to verse 1 and we read down to the verse 23. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Again, this is God's word. Let us hear together. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, but they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But the other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord be pleased to bless that reading of his holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, the glory of his name, and to the good of our very needful souls here this night. And let us come before the Lord together in prayer. Well, dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to that passage that I read to you earlier in Matthew chapter 13. I remember saying at the beginning of this last year, I hadn't preached from this passage for a long time. But sometimes when we read the Word of God and we can go over a passage and we can see things that perhaps we've not seen before and we may apply it in different ways, the truth is always there. And it is so rich. God's Word is so rich. It is so full of truth and light. And I pray that tonight what I have to say will come with a sense of freshness and application to our hearts and will indeed be a word that God might be pleased to bring by his own power to the lost. We know from, if you turn with me to the Gospel of John, in the chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of two resurrections. And let me say this, if we do not experience the first resurrection in this life as being quickened by the voice of God and by the Spirit of God, we shall not know that quickening on that day to heaven itself, when our bodies shall be called out of the graves, and we shall not enter heaven. If we do not know the quickening work of God, if we do not know Him raising us, as it were, from the spiritually dead, we shall be raised to a lost eternity, some to the resurrection of condemnation, some to an eternal damnation. Notice with me, the Lord Jesus Christ has just healed a man in John chapter 5, you know this portion of God's Word, a man that had been there by the pool of Siloam for a very long time and had been waiting for the stirring of the angel. And he who was lame for many years was given strength. And when the Lord, as it were, gave him that ability to stand upon his feet, he said, "Go and sin no more." And that's really what the Lord does when He does a mighty work in us. He changes the person, the being, and He gives the power to live a life for Him and to the glory of His name. So here in John chapter 5, notice what He says. There are Jews murmuring, accusing Him of doing a wonderful work on the Sabbath, wanting to put Him to death because He has done a mighty work, and they would not hear His voice. Here is the Messiah, the Son of God, that has come into the world. And He says in the verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is." Notice the words, "and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live." So there is, first of all, the spiritual resurrection of the lost. And that's what God does. He comes with His Word, and souls live. But then, He goes on in the verse 28 to speak, after having told His hearers, the Jews, that all power and all authority has been given to Him of His Father to judge the world in righteousness. And how will He do this? He will call men from the graves. Verse 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming." Notice how different this is. "In which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice." But there in the verse 25, the men are not in the graves, they are walking. But they are, as it were, dead men, dead in trespasses and sins. And Christ will make them alive, He says, "and the hour is now that men shall live as they hear the Word of God. They shall live," as we read there in Ezekiel 37. Now the Lord says, "Son of man, prophesy unto these bones." There Ezekiel was given a word of the Lord, and he couldn't do it. And the Lord, first of all, said, "Prophesy to these dry, barren bones that they may live." Well, the sinews came together. The bones came together. But there was no life. And then you notice in that chapter, the Lord says, and there it is with a small s, not a capital S, and there I esteem this to be the preacher. And what is it? All the preacher can do is pray that God by His Spirit might attend the preaching of the Word and bring life to souls. Verse 9, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived." That's the power of Almighty God. And what way is that? Well, we know from John 3, that the Holy Spirit and His work is likened unto the wind, is it not? So is the work of the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it will and listeth where it will. But how it works, we don't know. But as the word is preached tonight, I pray that as we come to Matthew chapter 13, that the Lord might give us wonderful, fresh insights to examine our own souls here at this gospel message. Are we alive to God? Of course, we've all got hearts pumping and beating and circulating blood through our veins. And our brains are thinking. But I'm not speaking about the arteries and blood, but I'm speaking about the soul. Is it alive? There are many that think that they're alive. There are many that think that they are God's people. And this is a very searching passage, my dear friends, very searching indeed. There are many that hear the word of God, but they are not alive unto God. They are dead unto God. They are still dead in trespasses and sins. And as we look now at Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23, I want to address you once again from this parable of the sower. You notice in verse 18, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Of course, the Lord is the one that sows the seed, but he also has his ministers. And they sow the seed. They cast the seed. We know not whether life will come, but God knows. And though this, as I've said before, may be a very familiar passage of God's word to us, to you, it must be preached on often, because it is a very searching passage to examine. As we consider here, as you look at this parable, as it were, we could say there are four different types of soil. We could even say, although there are four, there are essentially only two kinds, really, when we boil everything down. Three do not bear fruit. There's a superficiality about them. There is only one that is good, and that is the good soil which the Lord Himself prepares. Now, it's incumbent upon ministers to preach God's word faithfully. I pray that the Lord will help this evening. And as we do come to this passage, I want to just briefly set before you the context. This has been a very long day for the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 12, he's just been accused of doing, as we thought recently, the work of the devil, casting out devils in the name of Beelzebub. But how can Satan's house be divided against itself? What Christ does is he comes and he doesn't do a superficial work, does he? As we thought. He comes and he does a radical work in the heart. He comes to actually live in that soul. And that he is the one master of that soul. He breaks the power of the strong man. Christ is the stronger than the strong man, but he breaks the power of the strong man. And he sets the prisoner free. That man was, as we know, blind and dumb, but had a devil, and the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with that. It's been a long day, and he's preached to vast crowds at the end of chapter 12 there. He's had to deal with the cavilling of the Jews and the Pharisees against him. It's been, no doubt, stressful, difficult. But verse 1 tells us the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes, imagine all that has already happened, were gathered together unto him, so that he went in a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. The Lord Jesus Christ worked tirelessly, as we ought to in this life. Time is short. The day is at hand. We know not what a day may bring forth. And nothing would stop his ministry. He preached. He, as it were, exhausted himself, humanly speaking. We've got to understand, though he is God, and yet he came in the frailty of our flesh, and yet he preached, and yet so unwearied in so doing, full of good works, and yet people railing against him. And now he takes time to explain the kingdom of heaven. And there are a number here, as we've seen, parables in this very chapter. There are six parables in this chapter. And here, great crowds are listening, and he's giving one after the other. And we come here to this very important, indeed, parable. I beg your pardon, there are eight parables in this chapter, not six. There's the parable, you notice there, of the sower. There's the parable of the tares. There's the parable of the mustard seed. There's the parable of the leaven. There's the parable there of the hidden treasure. The parable of the pearl of greatest price, which of course is the Lord. There's also the parable of the drawing net and the parable of the scribe. But in all of these, many would not hear. Now, the disciples ask, why do you teach in parables? Well, some is because he is bringing a judicial hardening upon the people. And I suppose the gospel is so simple, yet it's blinding by its simplicity to men's hearts. And this is foolishness. God's word is very precious, and people very easily cast it off. And you notice how the parable begins. He begins by opening up and speaking here concerning seed that falls by the wayside. And we read, as the great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship, and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Of course, as we understand in this parable, and we know that the seed is the word. The seed is the word of God. If you just notice down, as we look at this parable here, verse 19, as he then speaks in verse 19, this has to do with the kingdom. But also if you turn to Luke 8 and the verse 11, we read, this is the parable in its parallel context there in Luke 8, 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And that's what is being sown. And you notice that the soil represents the hearts of men. And all three of the first hearts are no good. There's the heart, as it were, of the wayside. There's the stony ground, and then there's the thorny ground. And I want us to think upon these things again. Now, of course, all three describe sinners, and maybe in various ways. Notice in the verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, he is describing what it means as the seed is cast, and as the seed is not received into ground, whether it be the wayside, and you can imagine a field, first of all. There's a great large field. And the farmer has prepared a field that there may be an abundant crop. And some fell by the wayside on the perimeter of the field. And it's hard around there. People walk around that. And it describes, does it not, the nature of people's hearts, doesn't it? Hard. And it doesn't even really enter into the wayside. But it just seems to bounce off, and soon the birds of the air snatch it and take it away. Notice verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, whose fault is it that men do not understand? God's word is so simple, isn't it? The heart does not want to understand it. The heart is not receptive to God's word. People don't have time. When we go out into the open-air ministry, people say, ah, what's that? Whatever. We often hear exclamations like that, and sometimes abusive words. What is all that? Oh, never mind, that's just a load of rubbish. Or people come into church. We could say this is people with very hard hearts. And they hear the word of God and they instantly dismiss it. And even the devil then will take the things that they have heard, and it's not resonated in the heart. It's not entered into the brain. We've not given it a thought. We've not esteemed it. And the person's never really understood it. Verse 19, and when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. This is the, later on you see, he explains from verse 19. In the early verses, he gives the parable. And then in verse 19, he explains to his disciples exactly what happens. A seed is cast to these various kinds of soil, or ground, or stony ground, or good ground. So firstly there, the seed that is cast by the wayside. The person doesn't understand. He's heard it. It's not as if the devil just snatched the word and the person never heard it. They've heard it. But it was very superficially received. No change. That is a hard heart. And the person is still responsible for the word. And that is natural man, friend. That is man by nature. The carnal mind is enmity with God. It's not subject to his law. Neither indeed can it be. That's natural man. He rejects, he refuses. What happens? The devil quickly steals that word away from his thoughts. Because they're not captured there, they're not enamored, they're not impregnated upon the fiber of his being, and catcheth away that which was sown, notice, in his heart, verse 19, it was there in his heart, it was, he heard it, his mind took it, but it's a dead heart really, let me say. Heart. That's a natural heart, it is as hard as the hardest granite, as hard as the hardest diamond. It is resistant to God's word. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. You not see that there? And then we have the second. But it's not, let me say, as it were, any better. The problem with all three of these is they do not bear fruit unto God. The whole reason why God saves people, Romans 7, is that we should bear fruit unto God. When we fell in Adam, we started to live for ourselves as our own somehow autonomous creatures, not under the power of God and not living for the glory of God. Why did God make man? Let me ask you, you ought to know this. To live to the glory of God. That's why God made man. But man lives for himself with his hard heart and refuses God's word. Some just hear and resist, and what they hear is taken away. But they may be even those who appear to hear, and they do hear, but superficially again. It's not really sown in the heart. The heart is the problem, and I want you to understand that it's not a lack of seed. You could come with dump truck after dump truck and throw seed upon these areas and nothing will happen. The heart is the problem, isn't it? Look at verse 20. He that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Here, you notice the seed falls upon stony ground, and it seems that there is life. But it's all very superficial. Here is somebody that hears the word of God, but it's, I want to benefit something from God's word that will just be for my own profit. You know, many people will hear the word of God and they think like this, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? How am I going to benefit? How's this going to improve my life? That's not receiving the word in the heart, is it? Really, it's superficial. I've heard the word of God for my own profit, and I just receive God's word as another book. How to live my life. Just arrange some principles in my life and frame my life now in a different way. I want to be like these Christians in terms of they have good upright standards, and that's as far as it goes. But it's not heart religion. It's not for God. The heart, you see, is still hard. The seed falls on stony ground. It has no root. We notice that he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. He seems to endure for a while. Things become difficult, but when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, well, you have to suffer for God and for righteousness' sake. By and by, he's offended. The Lord Jesus, did he not say, blessed is he that is not offended in me? This person does not consider it a joy and privilege to serve the living God. He's never really been convicted that he is a sinner worthy of God's wrath and worthy of God's damnation, but is offended that offenses should come to him. I mean, we should expect. If we live in a God-hating world, with sinners that hate God, we should expect to be offended. We should expect to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you see, this person is just living for himself again and again. He came to the word came, but it was for himself. It was for his life, it was for his own advantage. It was not now to live to God. It was that somehow it might improve his life, that he might be better thought of by other people. Here's a lost soul. Here's a dead soul. Here's a person living for themselves, dead in trespasses and sins, not alive unto God. Not a spiritual person, but a carnal person, a person that is still in the flesh. That's the soul we're thinking of here. A lost soul. All three here are lost. The wayside, the stony, and now we come to the thorny ground hearer. He also, verse 22, that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You see, this person is still attached to the things of this world. And now, deceitfulness of riches, promises of riches to make you happy. The man does not have Christ. Christ, who is in one of these parables here, who is the pearl of greatest price. He's not ever really seen Christ. He's heard the word, but very superficially. He has also perhaps thought, well, if I come to church, and if I hear the word of God, I can add this to my CV, if you like. I can add this to my list of things that I am, and I can call upon God in times of need. But you know, this man does not call upon God in times of need, especially when he has wealth. He says, I have no need of God now. He's a lost man. Superficial hearing. Never truly valued the kingdom of heaven. Never valued God. Never valued eternity more than this life. This life is everything for him or for her. The word is superficial. They are dead souls. They are like, remember, Noah sent out two birds. Remember, he sent out the raven. What did the raven do? that lived upon the carrion, the dead carcasses of the old lost world that had been swallowed up in that great deluge. And it didn't come back to the ark. And Christ is our ark. The dove, as it were, was content to be in that ark. And that's the Christian, isn't it? We're looking for an eternal world. Person's blind, short-sighted. So many people are like that. You see, this is what it is. They've come to hear the Word of God and they just seem to view things as superficial, as maybe even Scripture as being pie-in-the-sky stuff. There isn't in their hearts a real heaven, and there isn't really a real hell. Not really to them. This world is all there is, and that's what they live for. They're not true believers. No, they're lost. All of these describe the hearts of dead men, lost people who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very solemn, isn't it? Very solemn indeed. But then, thankfully, we come to that ground that the Lord has prepared. Something that is utterly unique about all these soils, the four different soils, only one has been prepared by the farmer. And that's a comfort. Tonight, if we've truly received God's word in our hearts, God has prepared it. He's broken up the fallow ground so that His seed will fall on good ground. Thank God. Some seed falls on good ground. Verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. That is the difference. The others never really understood. It came superficially. It came as something somewhat mystical. They were blind. They were really deaf. And they were hearing what they wanted to hear. But here are those that truly hear. They hear the truth. They hear that they are nothing. That they are but great sinners, unworthy of God, and the humble, the poor believe. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are poor in spirit. They know nothing to offer God. God has prepared this soil. Now notice, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold and some 60, some 30. What is utterly unique about this compared to the other grounds is there is fruit. There's life. What does it mean when there's fruit? There's life. Fruit unto God, that's what Paul says. We are now married to another, says Paul, that we may bring forth fruit unto God. Here is the person that is united to Jesus Christ. He has come to live in their souls. He has given them life. He is the one who there in John has spoken by His word, and the word has come with power and conviction upon them. And, well, verily I say unto you, the hour is come, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear that shall live. When Christ truly speaks, friends, with power, life begins. And in this soil, the weeds are taken out, the weeds of sin. and the stones and the things that hinder. That's the Christian. And he doesn't want those things now in life. I must remove these stones. I must remove all these obstacles. Of course, God has prepared the ground. But by nature, there's still inward corruption. And the Christian says the stones have to go, the weeds have to go, the thorns and the thistles, the things that will hinder me, these things have to go. That's how you know you have life. That's how you know you have the Spirit of God in you. John says of God's people that they sin not. It's not that they don't sin. It's that in their lives, the general tenor of sin is not there. Why? Because John says by the Spirit, they have the seed of holiness. God has begun a work. And there's the power of God operative now in the life. And they hate the things of this world. And they want to be different. I used the analogy this afternoon in fellowship of, you can imagine, a pig with its head in the bucket full of slop. When we know where it's going to go, it's not going to eat the best of food. It's going to go straight to the muck. But as I've often said, if we had the power to convert that pig into a man, he's going to stop chomping on all that slop. And he's going to be utterly ashamed of his life. And he's going to run away and he's going to try and clean out his mouth and he's going to hide and he's going to confess. And he's going to live like a man. We think of Nebuchadnezzar, how the Lord judged him, and he lived as a beast. It says that he would have a heart as a beast, and he lived as a beast. And that was us in this world, living for ourselves and living terrible lives lost, not for God. But now there's life. When Christ speaks into your heart, and what does he do? It's like that change that begins. And we're ashamed of our past. And when we do sin, what happens? We're grieved and we're cut to the heart. We say, how can I live like that? God, forgive me. And he gives us fresh supplies of grace and strength to bear fruit, to turn away from our sin. That's life. Do you have that life? So there are many that are very content to come along to church with this superficial religion. But when times are tough, you don't see them in the house of God. When wealth comes, you don't see them. They're nowhere to be found because they want the riches of this world. They want the pleasures of this world. They do not want God. Their heart is not renewed in righteousness. Where are you tonight? I know you're here. But where is your heart? For where your heart is, your treasure shall be. Are you a saved man or a lost man? Has God had dealings with your soul or not? How do you treasure God's word? God's people treasure it. It's life. It's everything. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He that heareth my word and keepeth it shall not see death. Not the second death, but we shall enter into life eternal. Remember what I said earlier. There are two resurrections. There's one in this life. And we have it, it's spiritual. And if we do not have that, let me humbly remind you that there's no rising to heaven. And my earnest entreaty to you tonight is to repent of the life that you've been living and to seek the Lord. Cry to him. Ask him to forgive you. The word of God says, repent. Or you've lived for yourself. in sin. Hear, says the word of God, and your soul shall live. If you really heard, if you've really heard, you will go home and you will pray. And you will seek the Lord. And let me say this, let me give you a word of encouragement. If there is truly prayer, it is by God. He searches the hearts of all men that come to Him. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. I've told you before, many go through the confession box. And all they do is they say their confessions because they just want to be released of their guilt. But they don't really want God. You see, this person wants God in the life. They just don't want things. He is our life, says Moses, and our length of days. God is our life. He's the giver of your life right now. He is the one keeping your heart beating. And one day it will stop. And you'll be gone. May the Lord be pleased to speak through His Word and give souls life tonight by the power of His Word and by the power of His Spirit. I can't do it. God can. Wait on the Lord. Don't live another day, my friend, living for yourself. There is an eternity that is dawning upon you and upon me. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Or what will a man give, said the Lord Jesus, in exchange for his soul? May God be pleased to so come and quicken sinners. As He said, verily the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And many, friend, let me say, have come to life by the preaching of the Word, as the Spirit has attended it. And God has changed many a heart. It is His gracious work. May He be pleased to do so for the glory of His name. Amen.